It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Football Sack Podcast for another episode. My name is Jack, and Christian's with me.
I am at the end of the group stage. Sad times.
Sad times, but we're laughing a lot in the studio, and Pat is with us today.
I'm back.
You're back. You decided to show up.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Buddy.
Cheers, mate.
That's nice of you. So, full compliment on today's show. We should thank our sponsors who make it happen, bankingonfootball.com, to get a great deal on your banking and bank with somebody who shares your passion for football. Go to bankingonfootball.com and check out what they're offering. Score cash for your local club at the same time. And to Southern Cross University, who let us record here. So I was a few minutes late to the studio today because I parked in the wrong car park, despite the fact that I went to university here, as did the other two guys I'm here with.
Yep.
I parked in the student car park just on autopilot and then had to restart my car and drive around to where the studio is, which is a long way from where I actually parked initially. So good to see I was in the right. I was obviously too in the zone. I was in the zone for the podcast, like players going to a game. I should have caught a bus, and then I could have my Beats headphones on.
Mm.
A few things to go through on today's show. We'll start, obviously, with the big news from overnight, which was Luis Suarez being rubbed out of the game for 4 months. What did we make of that? Fair? I think so.
They deserve it.
Huge blow for Liverpool in club football, mainly because he's out of their first three Champions League fixtures, which is obviously Uruguay is a huge blow that they'll probably lose to Colombia now, I'd imagine. And I was glad that we got most of our predictions right on the show yesterday after joking about how wrong we would get them. But
now Clive Palmer's getting angry at us because he went against what we were saying.
Yeah, poor bloke. Can't catch a break, big Clive. As you guys know, I dabble in a little of Spanish language speaking, or badly, but I try. And I thought, well, why don't I check out what the Uruguayan press are making of the Suarez incident, try and get a bit of a balanced opinion. We've seen the anti-Suarez opinion. They're obviously pro-Suarez. Let's see what they had to say. So I tuned in. I found a stream that was showing the Uruguayan sports news, and they came out. Look, it's a bit broken, but I gathered they said at one point, Felicitamos el partido, pero es posible habrá problemas por esto.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. That's why I thought when I heard it, mate, which basically roughly translates as, look, yes, happy that we won the game, we're through to the next round, but we could see some problems coming out of this, which is probably fair enough. I agree with that. And then they also said, tendremos más tras el televisión de descanso, which roughly translates to, and we'll have more after the break, including the thoughts of former Socceroo John Aloisi.
Some of your best work, mate.
He's working hard for the money.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I really hope that people have listened in before now so they can actually get why that's hilarious.
Yeah. If anybody's watched television in the last month, they will get why that's hilarious. apparently, the Ghanaian government had to fly in some money because they've got to pay him. He's appearing on Ghanaian television. They owed him for a few appearances that he's done during the World Cup. So they've flown him in.
Now, speaking of the $3 million and John Aloisi, I have it in good word that John is going to get his spot back on the SBS panel. Now, I don't know if you've actually heard, but Zelko Kalic has actually left the country. As the good man he is, he's actually personally boarded the Malaysian Airlines chartered plane to personally deliver the $3 million to the players. What a good man. There's one man you can trust with $3 million, Zelko Kalic.
He described the choice of Malaysian Airlines as perfect because nobody really cares if they go missing.
Oh, dear.
But that game, Ghana-Portugal, it has the best cross you'll ever see in your life in it.
Amazing.
For the first goal.
Amazing. So, guy's running down the left wing, and he decides to hit across the outside of his foot, which players often do, except it wasn't with his right foot. It was with his left foot.
Yeah. The way that he said it confused is the way we were when we watched it. It's unreal. It's the best cross I've ever seen.
It is.
At least to a goal.
Yeah. So it is legitimately the best cross you'll ever see in your life. So if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It's amazing.
So if you saw the Ghana-Portugal highlights, go back and watch the first goal if you haven't looked at how he's crossed the ball. It is unreal. It's a lot of people waxing lyrical about Ronaldo's cross in the USA game in the last minute to equalise. Mm-hmm. This is 10 times better.
If you tried it 100 times, you wouldn't be able to do it, would you?
No.
No chance.
I would never be able to do it, let alone in 100.
You wouldn't even think about trying to do it, would you?
No.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, I think about doing that the same way I think about when I'm driving, just opening the door and rolling out. You just don't attempt that.
No, you don't. It's just amazing. And it just defies what you think is possible. That is brilliant because it invades the defender, goes under the head of the attacker, and one all.
There was a fantastic own goal from the Ghanaian, which...
It's the story of the Ghanaian team, isn't it? Brilliant 1 minute, terrible next.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, he was one of the players who hadn't been paid yet, so turned around and kicked it in his own net.
Well, it's funny because there's a photo on Twitter on him actually kissing $100,000 walking into the team's hotel.
Legit. Right. Mm. Brilliant. Oh, wow. Well,
thought there was money problems there.
The $100,000 he was kissing was actually from a Portuguese bookmaker. that was not from the money the Ghanaian Federation flew over.
It was an amazing goal. It was just, what the hell's going on?
Flying in all that cash, could you not just do an electronic transfer? Doesn't it seem a little bit dramatic to be flying? Because then all the players have
Aren't there laws like you can't actually do that?
That's what I'm thinking. When the players now fill up their suitcases, and when they try and leave the country, they won't be allowed to leave with all that cash.
Because it's like laundering, right?
Yeah.
Border Security, they've got an episode right there.
Lined up.
Yeah.
Half the money's actually been funded by Border Security because they're getting boring on the show. So.
And there was also some awful goalkeeping on show for the winner, for Ronaldo. This is really bad.
It's just comical. It was just comical.
It was.
The ball went up in the air and keeps going, my.
There's palms
just
in the way.
Pushes it. Yeah, actually, Ronaldo, you have it. You look sad. And Ronaldo stuck it away, didn't celebrate, which obviously... is understandable for a moody son of a...
Because he did look sad, but that actually makes him... How's this? So he's now scored in the 04, 06, 08, 10, 12 and 14 Euros and World Cups now.
Really? So every major tournament since 2004 where he scored in?
Yeah, correct.
Good run. Mm. That is a really good run. Well done. So Portugal are out, Ghana are out, so they'll be flying that money straight back to Ghana. Germany are through, as are USA from that group. We tipped a draw for this game that would see both teams through, but in the end it was a pretty lackluster 1-0 win for the Germans.
It was. I mean, I literally turned it on. I saw the kickoff, I blinked, and it was the 61st minute.
Yeah,
so.
You mentioned that before, a 61-minute blink.
So we didn't miss too much, really. US had a couple of chances late, but Germany had the majority of the chances throughout the match. And it was never going to be a showstopper simply because both teams were...
It was too safe, yeah. Muller scored the winner. He has scored 9 goals in his last 9 games at World Cups.
How old is he?
24
or something.
Yeah.
Not bad, is it?
So he's not even a striker. That's the amazing thing.
He's well on the way of being one of the greats, isn't he?
Absolutely. Just clinical. He gets a chance, he scores. So Germany are through. They will play Algeria in the second round. We'll come into that game later on. USA have been paired against...
Belgium.
That's right. So
very winnable game, I reckon.
I think USA will knock them off, actually. That's my upset for the round of 16. Belgium-Korea was a game last night that we predicted Belgium would win, and they won it. Asia officially go home without a win at this World Cup. Good point was raised last night that said Australia, this bodes well for Australia at the Asian Cup because we've used the World Cup as like a lead into the Asian Cup, whereas all the Asian teams that have flopped at the World Cup will likely get rid of all the players who flopped and try and start again building for the next World Cup. So they'd probably be too green to win the Asian Cup.
Possibly, but it was said that we were too green to perform well at this World Cup, and we've done that with a very green side. So you wouldn't discount any of the top Asian sides when they come to Australia to play in the Asian Cup next year, but good signs for us.
Final game of the evening was Algeria-Russia. Well, it was played at the same time as Belgium-Korea, but the final game that we're going to talk about from the evening, the Africans have qualified, Nigeria have qualified, which means this is the first time ever that two African teams are through to the knockout stage of the competition.
It's not bad, is it?
Fantastic.
It's good effort to see.
Yeah, fantastic scenes from the Algerians at full time. Mm. Russia, that was really poor from them. What a sad World Cup that was.
There's just been no highlights, has there?
Their first goal, well, their only goal they scored in this game, the striker scored it and wheeled away doing the calm down celebration, patting their hands down, shushing the crowd. Mate, you have been dreadful. How many highlights do you reckon you're going to get? Exactly. I'd be going ballistic if I scored at a World Cup. I wouldn't be telling anybody to calm down.
I guess how far can these African sides go? Because obviously a few years back, Sepp Blatter said that one day an African side's going to win the World Cup. And it was believable at the time because that's when Cameroon stormed to the scene, was showing some really good signs.
But Senegal, was that on the back of the Senegal in 2002? Mm. Yeah.
But since then, African sides have been quite lackluster and especially very disorganised in defence, which has been their Achilles heel. So the question is here is, can either Nigeria or Algeria go on to do some special things.
Yes. Well, why don't we get the thoughts of our guest for today's show on the World Cup, all things the World Cup. It is Tom Greenard from ABC Brisbane. Delighted to be joined on the Football Sat podcast today by the man who was a senior producer at BBC Radio 5 Live in the UK and is now the senior producer of 612 ABC Brisbane's morning show. And you may have heard him on the sidelines during Brisbane Roar matches. It's Tom Greenard. Welcome to the show, mate.
Hi, boys.
Mate, we'll start off by having a look at your football background for those sort of listening in non-Brisbane areas who may not have heard of you before. What's your background, mate?
Oh, my background is I'm a sad sack because I'm a lifelong Leeds United supporter, so it's just been one long, unending tale of misery. But my football background is never any good as a player. Didn't cut it, never was going to cut it, but I've always loved the sport. You know, it's in your blood if you're English, you know all this. And came over here and thought, you know, working with Five Live in the UK, you get a lot of exposure to sport. You're expected to know a lot about it, especially football, for part of your job. And then I thought, I really want to do something with football. I've let it lie too long. Got involved with the Grandstand Boys in the office in Brisbane, and I've been doing some sideline stuff on the A-League and even called a couple of games last season. So it's been fantastic. I mean, getting paid to do something that you absolutely love to bits is pretty special.
So we'll go into your highlights of the World Cup in a moment, but obviously you touched on the fact, and your accent shows, that you are English, so we won't let that slide. You've just finished a tournament where 50% of the goals that your country scored resulted in your physio breaking his ankle. How do you feel?
I think it was one of the highlights of the World Cup, boys. You know, you don't often see a celebration ending in an injury like that, do you?
It's nice that you were able to leave your mark, yeah.
Absolutely. Look, put it this way. England are the talent show contestants of the World Cup. Let's think of a fictitious title for this show. Let's call it England's Got No Talent, for example. You know,
good title.
And, you know, you turn up in the audition round and you say, look, I can sing. And everybody at home is watching the telly through their fingers going, God, this is bloody awful. You know, I can sing. And, like, you've got 20-second exposure. And everyone says, no, sorry, it's a no from me. And off you go after the cacophony that they've heard. Then you turn up in the next city, and Redfoo or Danny Minogue or Ronan Keaton say, oh, no, it's not you again. And you just keep doing it. But, of course, once you get past that round of those sort of contests, it's boring, isn't it? The knockout stage of the World Cup's boring. The group stage is the best bit. It's like the early auditions of the X Factor or England's Got No Talent.
I can 100% say that, like, I'm not a big watcher of those American Idol-style shows, but I do watch the very start just for the bad ones.
World Cup would be nothing without everyone laughing at England. Well, where would it be? You know, we would delude ourselves and go to the next audition talent. And everyone, I think people secretly let us qualify from our group in Europe, just so they can go, ha ha, yeah. Point at us.
Encore. Well, at least you got the England cricket team to you know. Oh well, no, we won't go there. What are some of your highlights of the tournament then? Your nation aside.
I think, obviously, the Colombian goal celebrations have been fantastic. As you've mentioned, strange injuries already. The poor Nigerian lad who had his arm broken by his own player and getting in the way of his shot on goal. But with specific reference to today, allez la reine d'Algérie, go the desert foxes. I mean, that is a fantastic story, isn't it?
Well, this is fantastic. We weren't expecting you to speak Algerian. Well, I assume they speak French, but... certainly our first reference to Algeria in French on the show. This is, you are really classing up the establishment today, mate.
It doesn't take a lot in this country, you know that.
All this podcast.
Yeah. An English friend of mine once told me a joke that said, what's the difference between Australia and a tub of yogurt? If you leave a tub of yogurt in the sun for 200 years, it'll develop a culture.
But tish. Well done, lads. Well done. Look, it's got the best excuse of the World Cup as well. I mean, Capello could never, ever say this for England. I mean, we've gone out because we're a bit shit, doesn't really cut it. We've gone out because my goalkeeper had a laser pen shone in his eyes. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely sensational.
I think it was Capello shining the laser, actually. He had the excuse ready to go. Mate, we'll touch on the FFA Cup, which is obviously the draw's been announced this morning, and a lot of football people are excited, not least the football people in Brisbane who have a number of teams to cheer from, not just the Brisbane Roar.
That's right. I mean, look, if you're expecting a big money spinner, unfortunately, the two Brisbane-based teams who were the first two from Queensland to qualify for the fourth spots, Olympic FC from Yeronga and the Brisbane Strikers, the former NSL Premiership winners in 97. They both got ties against sort of semi-pro teams in the same vein as them. The one I'm looking forward to is Brisbane Roar away at Stirling Lions. Who's heard of them in Western Australia? I mean, that's a potential banana skin, as they like to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, certainly plenty of exciting draws, and we've had also Central Coast Mariners are going away to South Coast Wolves, which is another draw to look forward to, and I think Melbourne Victory are also going to play a club team in Perth, so a lot of excitement about the FFA Cup, and we're certainly involved. Mate, you're in Brisbane.
Yep.
And a great place to watch the World Cup in Brisbane is at one of our sponsors, the Rivadeci's Pizza. Have you had a chance to check them out?
Jimbinho Jr. has been tempting me down there day after day after day, but unfortunately, I have a job that involves getting up at the same time that he's sitting alone in this place watching all the World Cup games. So I haven't been able to join him yet, but I'll give it a shot. I'll try and get to him one weekend, maybe this weekend, get there soon.
Well, mate, we're doing a lunchtime podcast there on the 12th, so you have to come join us for that.
Yeah, I might do that. Hey, listen, I read the most interesting stat of the World Cup the other day. Get this, right? You are 2,350 times more likely to be bitten by Luis Suarez than by a shark swimming in the sea.
Hey, that is the stat of the tournament. That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, that's brilliant. What did you make of his four-month ban from all stadiums, not just football?
I think, a lot of people say it wasn't long enough, but I think the guy needs some support. He needs gainful employment while he's kicking his heels on the sidelines. So I'm trying to start this hashtag, Jobs for Suarez, and I've come up with one. My tin opener doesn't work, so I might.
we will certainly assist you with your Jobs for Suarez hashtag, and I'll think of as many as I can before the end of the show, I promise.
Please do.
Thank you so much for your time today, Tom. It's good to have you on, mate, and hopefully we might be able to talk again before the end of the tournament.
Pleasure. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, mate. Thanks to Tom Greenard from ABC 612 in Brisbane. What a multicultural show this is turning out to be. We had Tom speaking French. Earlier we did a bit of Spanish. We're speaking English. We've covered three languages in one. Very multicultural. We'll get a gig at SBS if we keep this up. Actually, speaking of multiculturalism, Christian, I don't know if you've seen this. Pat, obviously getting into the hashtag spirit last night, searched SBS World Cup on Twitter,
yep.
And it came up, it's actually a South Korean broadcaster, so it's not even anything to do with SBS, and there was a bunch of Korean writing and a photo of two Korean guys standing at the stadium, and I think it was Manaus, but we'll retweet the tweet from Pat's account, but he certainly said SBS's multiculturalness has had its effect on Foz and Les. They're looking very ethnic during a live crossing.
Which, you would have thought that SBS would have seen if that hashtag's already been taken.
Yeah, for sure. So,
yeah, it's crazy. People are still tweeting us and saying that we should be using hashtags more often. Hashtag.
I actually searched ours again. It's been taken. It's been used.
What? Oh, really?
Or some band or something like that.
What, TFS podcast has been used by a band?
That hasn't been used for 2 years, so we're allowed to use it.
TFS podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a look at it. It's actually an Indian metal group podcast called the Flaming Skull Podcast.
Flaming Skull Podcast. Oh, yeah, TFS, the Flaming Skull Podcast. So what, they talk about metal, like music?
Yeah, so their top thing is thrash metal from Hyderabad, primal abuse listed on the TFS podcast.
You're kidding.
Live from Mumbai, India.
I think it's safe to say we are the second best TFS podcast out there.
I want to hear Bollywood rock.
And now, here's the worst thing, right?
Bit of Hyderabad screaming.
They started about a year earlier than we did, July of 2009. We're obviously May 2010.
Listeners, we're frauds, and we apologise. Don't ever listen to this show again. Go and download the Flaming Skull podcast, fresh from Hyderabad.
Mumbai in India.
Get your latest Indian scream rock, because that's where it's at.
We got the guy from Family Guy coming up yelling at us, going, "You're a phony. You guys are phonies."
We should probably look ahead to the round of 16 matches at some point.
I think this. So we've got our two matches on Sunday morning, which is Brazil versus Chile.
Sorry, we should also mention this is the first match since it started tonight, or the first night since it started, that there are no matches.
It's almost a sad affair, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And this will be the night that I won't be able to get to bed, and there'll be nothing on television you watch.
Catch up on all that lack of a wake you've had.
Yes.
So we've got Brazil versus Chile, which is going to be great. So you've got two South American, you wouldn't call Chile South American powerhouse, but they're a power in this World Cup. They've got a very good side. So that's going to be quite interesting. And
They can beat him. I'm calling it. I'm saying we want Chilly Willy, and Chilly's going to knock him over.
If Chilly knock him over, it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Yes. People who've been keeping calm because Brazil are doing okay at the World Cup will no longer be keeping calm.
Two card in references in 2 minutes. I'm impressed.
Yes, good. Yes. Carry on.
And secondly is Colombia versus Uruguay, which I think, you know, due to a lack of a certain someone, Colombia could go through.
Yes, Mr. Suarez has been ruled out for 4 months for being a bit of a naughty boy.
Yeah, now, talking about naughty, if you're feeling a little bit naughty, do you know you can beat the winter blues with a delicious King William chocolate, banana bars, or raspberry ripe drink from Boost Juice?
Didn't know that. Tell me more.
Well, if you need a healthy boost, grab one of our freshly squeezed, one of their freshly squeezed juices with a Vita Booster to get your daily multivitamins and minerals or immunity boost to protect and perfect your immune system.
Wow, that sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
I don't know why it beats the winter blues, but anyway, is it a hot boost juice?
It must be. Well, is it winter?
It is.
It is winter.
Yeah, mate, it was cold this morning.
So, you know,
the reason I went back to sleep. Here's my story. I told Christian that, Pat, you turned up late. I woke up at like 5 to 2 whenever my alarm went off. It was so cold. I intended to get up to watch the Ghana-Germany game, but thought, the USA-Germany game. I didn't need a time machine to watch the Ghana-Germany game. But I thought...
just Foxtel IQ.
Yeah, it's way too cold, and my iPad was down in the living room where the television is. Rookie error. I have the SBS app downloaded on my iPad, but I don't have it on my phone. So I thought, I'll just download it on my phone and watch it here in bed. So I rolled over, grabbed my phone off the nightstand, went to the app store, and started searching for the World Game. And I woke up in the morning with my phone next to my head, and when I unlocked it, it was still in the app store with the in the search bar. So that's as far as I got, and I missed all the overnight action.
I was going to point something out here. You'll find this if you go back into our Twitter timeline, because Jack, earlier before when Pat was trying to get out a joke, we actually, he couldn't quite get it out, so we had to turn away from him, and he turned away from us to get it out. So Jack took a photo and posted it on Twitter, which is being retweeted by the Football Sack, and we've just got to give a shout out to Guido Tresoldi, who's asked the very obvious question of, where's John Aloisi?
Yes. he's in Uruguay, I believe. So we are live tweeting as we're potting, which is cool.
That's great.
But people listening to this, like, you know, 4 hours' time won't care. So let's carry on talking about the Colombia-Uruguay game, which we all think Colombia is probably going to win that. We can probably just talk about the games that are coming up in the near future. We won't go through all the round of 16 matches because then we'll have no material until the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
We're just going to call up some guests again.
Yeah, that's right. Does anyone have John Aloisi's number? Is he available?
Don't you worry.
It's about beating a dead horse.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what he's doing, trying to get on TV. Isn't it? Netherlands-Mexico is on Monday morning, as is Costa Rica and Greece. So there are our next four matches.
That's going to be a good morning. I'm looking forward to Netherlands-Mexico and Costa Rica-Greece for different reasons. I think Netherlands-Mexico for footballing reasons and Costa Rica-Greece just for minnow reasons. This is going to be hilarious.
A minnow is going to make the quarterfinals.
Absolutely.
Apologies to our Greece listeners who consider themselves a powerhouse, you know, 2004 Euro winners.
Yeah, I consider them, you know, in international football terms. But I do have $5 on them to win the World Cup. So come on, I'm Greek for the rest of the tournament. You can call me Jack Quiglios if you want. That's more Spanish than just adding os to the end. It's more Australian, really, than anything. Oh, Jack Os. We'll just cut that bit out. It's fine.
What about Australian
people
names?
Won't know I'm not funny. Are we out of games to preview?
I think so.
No, we're probably out of time to record them, to be honest.
We don't want to go to Tuesday's games. We can wait for Tuesday for that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we'll wrap it up because we've got to do a bucket load of editing to get the show on the air. Thanks for listening, listeners. Thanks for coming, Pat.
See you, mate.
Thanks for coming, Christian. I'll see you later. Everybody.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.